The Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people who love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's Nicodemus who has been on my mind this week. Good old Nicodemus. He was a religious leader so caught up in earnest wondering that he came to Jesus at night full of questions, heady questions, questions he supposed, probably correctly, could get him into a little bit of trouble. "How does this faith thing work, Jesus?" he wondered. "How can we be born of the Spirit? How can these things be?" So why Nicodemus, you may be asking. Why Nicodemus? Why are you thinking about Nicodemus, Pastor Jen, when he doesn't even show up in our scriptures this morning? Do you wonder that? Yeah, you're good. You're very good. Well, the reason I'm thinking about Nicodemus is because this oft-quoted, uber-popular passage, this gospel in a nutshell, as they say, "For God so loved the world," is really just the tail end of the story about faithful, curious Nicodemus. Nicodemus full of questions and searching and yearning. Nicodemus who shows up in the night and then disappears from the scene until the very end when Jesus has died on the cross. It's Nicodemus, you know, who carefully takes Jesus' broken and bloody body after the cross, lugging in hundreds of pounds of myrrh and aloe for the burial rite. That's Nicodemus. And it's Nicodemus who, from his training, his former training, must have known very well that story that we heard about the bronze serpent, the one who's lifted up on the pole that their sins of the Israelites, so that the Israelite people might look at the bronze serpent and live. Nicodemus would know that story. He would know that one very well, and Jesus knows that he knows that story. And it's Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who hears close up the promises of Jesus. "It's okay. I've got this. You are forgiven. You are saved," which is actually the word healed. "You are healed. You have life. The world has life. Now love each other. Care for each other." Nicodemus, he's a good mystic, I might say. Leaning into the holy mystery, resting there, dwelling in God's mercy. So today we use Lectio Divina to draw us into this holy mystery and continue our Lenten practices. We did this 2 weeks ago, and a number of you came to me afterward and sort of taken by Lectio, maybe a little surprised, maybe moved by the sense of space and the sense of silence. That said, it's newer to many of us, to most of us, and it may feel odd or like we're not doing it right. It's okay. It's okay. Lectio Divina simply means holy reading or divine reading. Holy reading or divine reading. Cynthia Bergeau, a modern mystic and practitioner, writes of the collective amnesia that fell over Christianity with regard to our own contemplative heritage. She writes, our minds are like ladders. We climb ladders trying to get somewhere. Nicodemus knows that. That's what he's working on. We know that. In actuality, then, Cynthia Bergeau says, this life of faith, this practice of Jesus' way is more fully and more truly a circle, fluid in process, not a ladder, but fluid, moving, sometimes drawing us in deeply and beautifully and organically. So today, as we practice Lectio, we'll use as our focus a portion of the Ephesians reading, the reading that Jan offered to us just a few moments ago. We'll move through four stations, sort of like points on a compass, with silence in between. We'll hear a portion of the passage, and as you hear it, listen that first time for a word or a phrase that touches you. And then we'll hear it again. And hold on to that word or phrase, memorize it, repeat it, chew on it. Listen to what God may be saying to you through that word or phrase, and take what God wants to give to you. And then we'll hear it again. And this time, let that word or phrase be a prayer. Your heart speaking to our loving God, moving from your head to engage more fully your heart. And finally, we'll rest in God's presence. These stations and the passage itself, the scripture, they're in the bulletin this morning, so you could turn to those if you like. Use them if you need to, but mostly, just let your heart settle into this time of prayer. We begin by getting comfortable. So I invite you now to move your bodies, get comfortable, become silent inside. That's hard. Silent inside and silent outside. And take a deep breath. Listen this first time for a word or a phrase that touches you.
But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast.
Hold on to that word or phrase. repeat it, memorize it, chew on it, listen for what God may be saying to you through it.
But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast.
And listen again. Let this be a prayer, your heart speaking with our God who loves you deeply.
But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast.
And finally, rest. Simply rest in God's presence. Thank you. Thank you for daring to dwell with God and for trying something new for some of you and something holy. Remember again the words of Nicodemus, actually the words of Jesus to Nicodemus and to us as well. It's okay. I've got it. You are forgiven. You are healed. You have life. The world has life. Now love each other and care for each other. Beloved in Christ, the God who saw the Israelites through the wilderness years, the God who claimed Nicodemus in his questions and in his love, the God who reaches out from the cross and holds on to life in mystery and grace, is the same God who in Jesus Christ heals and forgives and loves this world and you and me so very much. This God, our God, bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.
Together, let us confess our faith using the words from the Iona community. We believe.